Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. That means that Lee Kelly is in studio with me, and it's Big Ten Conference Media Day, which starting at 9 o'clock this morning, all the Big Ten coaches take the podium for about 10 minutes. Archie Miller coming up later in the 11 o'clock hour. When Big Ten Media Day hits, Lee, that means college basketball, in my book, is here, and we've heard a lot from Archie Miller at IU's Media Day. We had a great opportunity to hear from all the players at IU's Media Day a couple weeks ago. Now we get the chance to hear kind of an array of the conference and what to expect from a Big Ten perspective. And hearing these coaches today, and of course we'll have Archie Miller's comments for you on Friday's show, the full 10-minute clip of what he has to say. But hearing all these coaches speak and answer questions about their team or about the conference, and hearing Commissioner Jim Delaney take a lot of questions today about the college basketball scandal and the trial going on in New York is interesting, to say the least. And as excited as we all are about today and about college basketball starting, the scandal trial that's going on in New York has just produced some damning evidence and things that I don't know that even I thought went on to that detail, maybe is what they're going on. The payments from prep school coaches and payments to large payments from AAU programs to play for certain teams, in addition to what's come out with college basketball. So it's an odd time. Everyone is excited about the season, but the college basketball scandal, this stuff is absolutely unbelievable, and it's going to be interesting to see. This game's going to continue, too, for a couple more days into next week, it looks like. It's going to be real interesting to see how the NCAA moves forward. Do they take this information now that they're able to do that and proceed with violations because this stuff is under oath? Do they open up their own investigations when the court case has come to a close? No matter what, it's going to be a very interesting start to the season because a lot of games, players, teams, conferences to watch and be interested in, but playing alongside of that will be perhaps the next step in this college basketball scandal, and that will be violations handed down. And will there be suspensions? Will there be postseason bans? Will it affect this season? Will it affect future seasons? Just a lot of things up in the air right now.
When the 2 days remaining, or 3 days, 4 days in this trial ends, will it be over? Will that be it? Will there be any further discussion, any further charges, any further investigations? Or will all of the other coaches not named take that big sigh of relief because it's done with?
Going to be interesting. Hard to say. Is this something that's ongoing? Is this round one? Again, to me, the most pertinent question right now is what does the NCAA do? Because if what's been said under oath is true, and I would think that it is at this point. I mean, keep in mind, some of these witnesses lied to the FBI, if you've been following Dan Wetzel's coverage, and then later had kind of like a plea agreement to become a government witness. I don't think they're going to lie in this situation, given that they have a lot of immunity and a lot of benefit for telling exactly what happened. But if some of this stuff under oath is picked up by the NCAA, I mean, this is stuff that and I know in some cases the school may have not known it was the middle person or whatever. But I don't know. It's a crazy time. The season is starting. We're all happy for that. This trial has been just some of the things that have come out of these witnesses' mouths that you have to believe at this point are just unbelievable. And how this all runs concurrently together in November and December and beyond is way beyond me. It's going to be very interesting.
You're as well connected to everything from elementary basketball all the way through college. Did you have any inkling? And I know you had, because we've talked a little bit, I know that you had heard some things when you were at meetings, when you talked to your friends and so on, that things were going on. Did you have any idea of the scope that we know to this point, that it was this deep, this involved, this many people handing cash to other people, parents, players, whatever?
Did I think that over the years it had happened, maybe a player had been paid $50,000 or $100,000, a big-time prospect? Absolutely. From a booster club or from someone connected with the travel, an AAU, a Nike, Adidas program, not really surprising at all. Did I know that it was as widespread as what we're finding out perhaps that it was, whether it was small payments or large payments, whether it was help with housing or a vehicle, or whether it was help with something else? No. Did I ever believe, as close as I was to the summer scene, that people were paying $20,000 or $25,000 for a kid to play for a certain brand or a certain team? That's surprising. Did I think that maybe parents were getting flown places or some extra shoes and extra things, extra meals, little cash here, little cash there? Sure, absolutely. But this is, even that part of it has taken on a whole nother level to me. And then the one that sticks out is you look at La La Mira, a prep school, New Albany, played those guys. We were at that game. We talked to the coaches and to all the people surrounding that game before it happened. So much talent on that team. Were all those guys being paid $2,000 a month? Their parents being paid $2,000 a month? I mean, normally, you know, kids used to pay to go to those kind of schools. Now it's kind of reversed. So there have been a lot of interesting things that have caught me off guard for sure. In this court case, as I have followed the transcripts and read the Dan Wetzel's columns each day, you know, to hear a school like Creighton named in offering or trying to arrange a deal to give money is just unbelievable. That's something you thought of with certain coaches. Those guys will remain nameless. We all kind of have people that we probably assume we may be right or wrong that cheat or have that persona around them. But, you know, Creighton's not a school that you perceive that just for whatever reason. So just there's been a lot of things about this deal that have been interesting. And again, how this runs concurrently with the season, with what the NCAA, whatever they're going to do, and I can't wait to hear their press conference or hear their report when the court case is over with. I don't know if this affects programs for future seasons, if there are suspensions and bans and things like that. And also, can it really affect some of the schools if the school themselves weren't orchestrating it? Now, if it was an assistant coach, that's one thing. But if it was just strictly the middle person, like a Christian Dawkins type middleman, agency-connected guy, can you hold schools responsible for what he or shoe companies are doing because they're not the schools? So when an assistant coach or a head coach gets involved and is helping facilitate and that sort of thing, that obviously takes it to a whole nother level. But there's so many questions about all this that remain to be answered. I think we'll find out some within the next week as the trial wraps up. I think we'll find out a lot more when the NCAA, I would have to think, makes some sort of a announcement or press conference about how they're going to handle things moving forward from the end of the trial with what's been said, because that's kind of the big question. Okay, all these people have been named under oath. All these details have been mentioned under oath. What's next from an NCAA perspective? I mean, there are some violations clearly mentioned. You can't just let them go on. I mean, they have to be addressed. So
yeah, and you have far more faith in the NCAA than I do. I still have no faith that they will go against the big programs. The smaller programs, I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland State gets the death penalty, even though they haven't even been mentioned. But they always get the brunt of the load, or some small school in some state that you've never heard of. You've heard of the state, but you haven't heard of the school is what I meant. Gets slapped across the forehead for doing something. So I have no faith whatsoever in the fact that they will take this on as a house cleaning situation and do their best to clean up this entire situation. So we'll see which one of us is closer to being correct as this goes on. I hope you're right.
I think they've been put in a situation where they're going to have to maintain credibility. But again, it's not straightforward. Even still, there's going to be some interesting things to see how it plays out. So we'll have to see how that happens. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's presented by Honey Baked Ham. Segment one, we've got a couple news and headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. We'll get to here in just a second. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join me. We'll talk a lot of IU Media Day highlights with him. Archie Miller getting ready to speak live at 11:20 on the Big Ten Network. We'll have those comments for you tomorrow. Romeo Langford named to the first team All Big Ten Conference. It's a 10-man team they pick. We'll talk with him about that and more as well. So stay with us for Alex coming up here in just a bit. Also later in the hour, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com will join us. We'll have a quick talk about IU Iowa to get you set for that for the weekend. And then Lee and I have our Zaxby's High School football segment where we go through the big games. Of course, none bigger this Friday in the final regular season week. Unbelievable that regular season football ends Friday night, but none bigger than New Albany Floyd Central on Friday night. That's the guest lineup presented by Honey Baked Ham. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. You'll receive $1 off your box lunch. That's at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned coaches started speaking. Jim Delaney started at 9 o'clock. He was on the podium today for 20 minutes. A lot of questions to him about the college basketball scandal. First coach up was Greg Gard of Wisconsin at 9:20. Archie Miller is scheduled to be on the podium today at 11:20 to 11:30, and then he and the team will return to the Big Ten Network set at 2 o'clock this afternoon. You'll hear Coach Miller, Jawan Morgan, and Zach McRoberts for an interview there as well. And again, that will be live on the Big Ten Network later this afternoon. We'll have audio of Coach Miller's 10-minute press conference tomorrow. We'll also have some clips from the Jawan Morgan and Zach McRoberts comments that will take place later this afternoon. I mentioned that Romeo was named to the Big Ten preseason all-league team. It's a 10-man roster. Jawan Morgan also on that roster. Romeo obviously steals some thunder there because he's a freshman. Carson Edwards of Purdue was named preseason conference player of the year. Joining Morgan and Langford and Edwards were Wisconsin's Ethan Happ, Michigan State's Cassius Winston and Nick Ward, Nebraska's James Palmer Jr., Minnesota's Jordan Murphy, Michigan's Charles Matthews, and Maryland's Anthony Cowan Jr. Happ and Edwards were the only two unanimous selections to the team. So Romeo Langford, a freshman, no surprise, named to the All-Big Ten Conference team before he ever steps foot on the floor for his first Big Ten Conference game. Also, interesting note coming out today, or coming out yesterday, I should say, Jeff Borzello of ESPN, John Gassaway, and a few others, they wrote about three preseason questions for the Big Ten Conference leading into Media Day today. Question number two, the second most important thing, was Indiana's Romeo Langford is the Big Ten's highest-ranked ESPN 100 recruit since Jared Solinger in 2010. What will his impact be on the Hoosiers and the conference? One of the writers that made comments was Myron Medcalf, and I thought he had some interesting comments about Romeo, but he ended his little paragraph about Langford saying this, quote, "Now he has a lottery pick," talking about Archie Miller, "now he has a lottery pick who can be the catalyst for a team that has Morgan and a healthy Davis. I think he's talking about Langford, I think he could become the face of college basketball." That's a strong comment from a national writer that obviously thinks Romeo Langford is not just going to be a consistent and a solid player for Indiana, but calling him someone that could become the, quote, face of college basketball for the upcoming season. That's pretty impressive.
Pretty, a lot of pressure on a young man that has yet to play in his first exhibition game, let alone regular season. And keep in mind, I say that when I truly believe he's the best player I've ever seen and all the years I've watched basketball, but man, that's a lot of pressure when you've got national publications saying things like that. It's good. It's great for IU basketball, for the publicity they're getting out of it, but a lot of weight on the young man's shoulders.
I tell you what, one other headline I want to mention. This was a story on the new stadium website by Jeff Goodman, formerly of ESPN.com. Heading into these media days, the national guys, columnists, people will do some stories about the conferences to kind of coincide with what's going on in Chicago. And all these conferences across the country have something very similar to this. But Jeff Goodman took an interesting approach. He polled anonymously Big Ten coaches about the tradition, the media exposure, game atmosphere, facilities, selling to pros as you recruit, admission requirements, budget and resources, and geographical recruiting base, a coach's, a program's proximity to great players year in and year out as far as their location. What is the best job in the Big Ten based on those factors? He gave the scoring on each category. He's done this for every conference so far, by the way. Indiana, the number one job in the Big Ten Conference, according to Big Ten coaches. He wrote, and I'm going to read it to you from Goodman's story. He wrote, quote, "The Hoosiers are one of the more storied programs in college basketball history, but most of the success came decades ago. They have five national titles on their resume and eight Final Four appearances. Tom Crean took over a mess, but still underachieved, only going to four NCAA tourneys in 9 years and failing to get past the Sweet 16. The history, the tradition, fans always," and this is a quote from another anonymous Big Ten coach, "the history, their tradition, fans are always at the games wearing red, even when they aren't that good, they show up. People in the state of Indiana care about Indiana basketball." So some strong comments from coaches, some strong ratings. Obviously, it's a no-brainer. Indiana is going to be one of the top jobs in the conference, but to see it be number one is pretty impressive. Michigan State was two. Indiana, by the way, had a total score of 98 points. Michigan State, this tells you how close it was, they had 97.5, so just behind Indiana by 0.5, by half a point. Then it drops to number three. Ohio State was at 82 points, so a little difference between Indiana and Michigan State and Ohio State number three. Michigan was fourth, Maryland fifth, Purdue sixth in the conference as far as best job in the conference. Illinois 7th, Wisconsin down a little bit, 8th. That's surprising to me with the success that they've had and the environment that's been created there. Nebraska 9th, Minnesota 10th, Iowa 11th, Northwestern 12th, Rutgers 13th, Penn State 14th. A look at the Big Ten coaches themselves rating the job. So pretty interesting stuff. And I think assistant coaches were polled as well. It wasn't just straight head coaches, but I think it was a mix of head and assistant coaches from the conference. But I thought that was very interesting. Indiana, yes, its national titles were decades ago, but it's still a really good job. A lot of that has to do with the fans, has to do with the craziness that surrounds the program with fans, and I think a lot of it has to do with its location in the state of Indiana where basketball players are produced at a premium.
Yeah, I agree, and I have the feeling based on Archie's coming into his second year and so on, that IU 9 out of 10 years, maybe 10 out of 10, will be in the NCAA tournament. Now, will they win a national championship? Well, you got to be awfully good. You've got to be lucky in order to do that. We've seen some awfully good teams that have had outstanding seasons. They get in the tournament and something happens one night and they're gone. So, but I do think that IU is going to be regularly scheduled into the NCAA show each and every March for a number of years because I think he'll do a great job recruiting. I think he's an outstanding coach, and I think he has put assistant coaches and peripheral people into that program that's going to keep IU relevant and a heck of a lot of fun to watch play.
That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune's Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Lee and I will head to a break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk a lot about Big Ten Media Day and those festivities. We'll talk Romeo Langford, Juwan Morgan, Zach McRoberts, and more coming up next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is my guest. This segment each week is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the big one, the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, they carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders, welcome. And, of course, racers, always welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, it's Big Ten Media Day in Rosemont, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. Archie Miller will be taking the podium, I think, during our segment here at this hour. And Romeo Langford, along with Juwan Morgan, earlier in the day, named to the 2018-19 preseason All-Big Ten team. What do you think we might hear from Archie and the two players, Morgan and McRoberts, that are in Chicago today for this event?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily expecting too much new information to come out, being that, you know, Matt, you were there a couple weeks ago. We had IU's Media Day in Bloomington, and that was a chance to really kind of get some in-depth information from all guys. But no, I think it's cool just for Juwan Morgan and Zach McRoberts as the representatives, the captains of this team, to be able to go to Chicago and represent the program. And Archie Miller obviously will be getting probably a lot of questions just about the team's expected jump up in the standings this year, kind of what it's going to be like to coach a guy like Romeo Langford. Not too often you see a freshman named to a preseason All-Big Ten team. So that's of note. And obviously Juwan Morgan, I think a lot of people are interested to just to kind of get from his perspective how his role changes this year and what he's expecting this year playing with Romeo. I mean, I think one of the more interesting storylines going into the season, you know, we've talked about the rotation a lot, but I'm going to be just kind of interested to see between Romeo and Juwan, you know, how often is Romeo leading the team in scoring? How often is it Juwan on a given night? Is there going to be anyone else that emerges as maybe a third or fourth scorer? So those are some of the things I would expect they'll be asked about and talked about. But Big Ten Media Day is always great from the perspective of, you know, it means that the season's drawing closer. And it was interesting earlier that Jim Delaney took a lot of questions from the media, and they were all pretty much centered around the FBI scandal and the college athletics model, so it doesn't seem like that discussion's going away. So hopefully all that kind of dissipates a little bit here in these next couple weeks before the season starts, because as we've talked about before, Matt, I would hate to see the attention from the actual games being taken away by stuff that's going on off the court.
Absolutely, and I want to stick primarily to Big Ten Media Day and the conference this year in our segment today, but I have to bring up with you, I mean, some of the things being said under oath by the various witnesses, I guess you could call them, in the case are unbelievable, and it's going to be really interesting to see when the case is said and done, obviously what happens with that, but also what the NCAA does with the information that has been given in this case, and will they then open their own investigation and bring forward NCAA penalties for many of the things that were mentioned in the court case if they can find proof or enough proof to move forward with that? So it's a really odd time because on one hand, everyone is so excited about college basketball coming back, and especially IU fans and Purdue fans, I think, excited about Carson Edwards, and the Big Ten should have a strong year. But then you've got this big giant kind of uncovering more things every day as this case moves on. it's just an odd feeling as we approach the season.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it is you mentioned what will the NCAA do? Will they open their own investigation? Well, we're looking at an FBI investigation. We're talking about one of the most powerful organizations in the world in terms of resources and, you know, intelligence and ability to get information. The NCAA is not going to be able to open an investigation and do a better job than what the FBI can from a resources perspective. So the thing I'm most interested in seeing is the NCAA just going to take sworn testimony in federal court and say, hey, this is our evidence. This is what we're going to use to punish schools. And if that is the case, there's several schools that should be very concerned about future penalties. And I think that's a very real possibility. It's sworn testimony in federal court is a powerful thing. You're under oath to tell the truth. And I would think that there's a chance that the NCAA is just going to use what has been brought out in court and say, you know, this is our proof. This is sworn federal testimony that we have. Unless you can disprove this, this is what we're going to use. I don't think it's going to be the NCAA opening its own investigation. We've already seen over a long period of time that they're really incapable of monitoring this at any scale. That's why the FBI had to get involved in the first place. And so it's not a good time to be in the crosshairs and being a part of this this case. You know, if you're a school that's names being thrown around in this case, I would be very concerned about what the NCAA is going to do after this is all said and done.
Yeah, no doubt. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, at Inside the Hall on Twitter, InsideTheHall.com for great coverage of IU basketball from all angles presented by CC Power Sports every Thursday on this show. I really look forward to the preseason official, unofficial media poll. It's nothing official from the Big Ten Conference, but I talked about this some yesterday on the program. It is, I think, 28 beat writers that cover one or multiple Big Ten teams as far as men's basketball goes. These are guys that we have on the program during the season when Indiana is playing some of the Big Ten opponents to preview the game and just talk Big Ten basketball. They're all very reputable names. And if you're going to look at a preseason list, this is the one to look at. It's not the magazines that we talk about as fodder to get us through the offseason. It's something like this. And these guys know the conference. They know their teams. They know the coaches. They talk to the right people. Indiana, in this preseason rankings of the conference, I should say, third. And that, to me, if I was filling out a ballot on where I think Indiana, at least in the preseason, with what we know, that is where I would have the Hoosiers at. So it was good to see them at the third spot and not fifth or sixth. And I think one listing I saw even had them as seventh. So good to see Indiana getting, I think, the right type of attention, at least in that Big Ten preseason prediction.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough for the second straight year to be a part of that. Me and Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, were the two folks who cover IU that were asked to participate. And it was a fun exercise from the standpoint of it. You know, it really made me think about the league from top to bottom. As I've told you before this offseason, Matt, that I'm not really sold on Michigan State to win this conference. I went with Michigan, which I don't feel great about either. I also somewhat considered Indiana. I ended up going Michigan 1, Michigan State 2, and Indiana 3. I don't feel great about any of those three, and that kind of speaks, I think, about to the point that this could be a league that a lot of different teams can win, and I wouldn't be shocked if any of those three teams won, but I don't feel great about calling any of them the favorite. And maybe the most the thing I got the most reaction out of fans yesterday was, I had Ethan Happ as my Big Ten Player of the Year in the preseason. I think I was one of four writers who did. I think there was 23 votes for Carson Edwards, 4 for Ethan Happ, and 1 for Charles Matthews of Michigan. So I got some interesting tweets from Purdue fans, which is fine. I love good fun. And, it's going to be, I think, a great year in the conference if you just like watching competitive league where anything can happen on a given night. I think outside of maybe Rutgers and Illinois, maybe Northwestern, I think most teams on a given night are going to be capable of beating anybody in the league on their home court. So I think it's going to make for a fascinating Big Ten season. But I think it's great that we have this preseason poll. You know, one thing the Big Ten doesn't do in the preseason anymore, they used to name, I think, a preseason top three. I'm not sure they did that this year or last year. So they don't release any official predictions from either the coaches or the media. They do the 10-man preseason All Big Ten team. They don't name I don't think freshman of the year in the preseason. So what they announce is a pretty stripped down thing. So it's good that Brendan and Adam Jardy of the Columbus Dispatch do this every year. I think it's this kind of sets the expectations at least for some of the teams in the preseason.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex, you had a nice, or your site, I should say, had a nice story that went up this morning about Cliff Marshall, the strength and conditioning coach for Indiana, and his effect on the program, not just in the weight room, but beyond. And he is someone that, I guess, three or so years ago when we started this show, and you were a part of it, basically, from the very get-go, you know when you're on every day in the season and in the off-season, you're going to have to find and cover all angles of a program, and that's exactly what you do on your website each and every day as well. So you know you're going to get into, especially in the off-season, some of the less talked about topics or people in the program or even players in the program. But I never imagined back then that we would talk about a strength and conditioning coach and his activities and his impact on the program as much as we have in recent months as Cliff Marshall. He's active on social media. He really kept the fans updated in a dry part of the off season with not a lot of information. He had great pictures of the guys making improvements to their bodies. He had pictures of the guys working hard in the weight room and in the sand pit. And he has good information. And he's someone that obviously is well-spoken. He's done some interviews. He talked with your team as well. Really an impactful person, and I think your story did a good job of pulling together his role in the program, and it's much larger than what his title is, I would say.
Yeah, one of our student writers, Seth Powell, did a great job of that story. He kind of came to me a couple weeks ago after Media Day and said, you know, a couple of people have mentioned Cliff Marshall, the players. You know, I'd kind of like to go a little bit more in depth. What do you think? I said, go for it. So he was fortunate enough to kind of get the input that he did for the story from Cliff, and I agree with you. I think he does a lot of great things for the program. I think he's well respected by the players and the players' families. I think he's made a lot of just positive impact, not just in the weight room, but beyond that. He's a very just personable guy, I think, that can relate to players. He can be a sounding board. He even talks about in the story a moment that he had last year with Robert Johnson when he was going through some struggles last year and talked him through some things, and ended up Robert kind of broke out of a slump and had a huge game at Minnesota. So, you know, I think he's valuable for the program, not just on the court, but I think off the court. And I think that's one reason you see so much trust in Archie Miller for him to share information on Twitter. You know, under previous coaching staffs, we didn't really get any inside look at what was going on in the offseason. But Archie Miller trusts Cliff Marshall because he's working with those guys on a day-to-day basis. They have a plan. They have a great relationship. And he's good with him sharing that information. So I think it's great for fans to follow him on Twitter, follow him wherever you can, and just to get the updates. And I think he's done a tremendous job just from talking to him here and there, just around Assembly Hall when I see him. Just a positive, really nice man who I think is doing a great job in his role, and I think he's well-respected by the players and well-liked by everyone around the program.
It's Big Ten Media Day in Chicago. We're joined by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, who is with us each week, presented by CC Power Sports. Jumping back to Big Ten-centered topics here as we close things, you mentioned your picks for the top of the conference. We obviously saw your votes as part of the official, unofficial Big Ten poll that came out yesterday that we talked about. Any surprises? Is there a team or two, maybe even in the bottom part of the projected standings, that you like or you think could challenge Indiana or any team in the conference this year? Kind of a storyline or two maybe that you'll be watching for an upset special?
Yeah, I mean, for a team that's maybe picked, two teams that are picked somewhat lower than maybe their talent suggests they should be, I would say Maryland and Iowa. I'll start with Maryland. I think they have a really good, solid nucleus coming back. I think they have a really good recruiting class. They have a McDonald's All-American, just one of two schools besides Indiana being one, then being the other, that's going to bring a McDonald's All-American to the conference. The talent's not an issue. My question with them is, Mark Turgeon, I think, is a good coach. I'm not sure he's a great coach, and he's had a lot of talent over the last couple of years in Maryland and hasn't really ever put it together to make a big run. So I think that's one reason maybe they're a little bit disrespected. I do think they have one of the most underrated players in the conference, and Anthony Cowan Jr., who's a great point guard. And as you know, point guard play is as important as anything in college basketball. So I think Maryland could be a surprise team, but they've got question marks. And with Iowa, it's the same thing. They've got a ton of talent, ton of players, but their defense last year was awful. One of the worst, I think the second worst defense in the Big Ten in the Ken Pom era outside of Rutgers a couple of years back. So we're not talking just a little bit of improvement that they need to make. They need to make a huge step forward. I think they've got a really good 1-2 punch with Jordan Bohannon and Tyler Cook. But if they can't guard anybody, I think they're going to be kind of stuck to the middle of the pack to maybe below in the Big Ten. But those are two teams I'm kind of looking at as potentially being able to outperform their preseason projections, but they have to answer some significant question marks if they're going to get there.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, Romeo Langford, he's a regular topic of conversation in the preseason. Just earlier today, he was named as a freshman who has not played a conference game to the Big Ten's preseason all-conference team, 10-man roster that was put out earlier today. I don't think any of us are surprised by that, and I think that he has been a big enough story as you look at some of the preseason write-ups about the conference and even features that are continuing to come out and will come out after today. He's become a household name already in Big Ten conference play, even though he hasn't played a game yet.
Yeah, it's rare that you have a guy named to the preseason all-conference team that hasn't stepped foot on the court, but that tells you that his reputation and his name is not just an Indiana or Southern Indiana thing. He's got a national reputation. People around the country know the name Romeo Langford. I think a lot of it is the fact that he was ranked so high nationally, but I also think a lot of it is people respect high school basketball in Indiana around the country, and they see the numbers that he put up. They see what he accomplished at New Albany. They see the great things he did on the grassroots circuit, and they say this is a guy that's going to come in and make an impact. So a lot of hype for Romeo to live up to. I don't think he's going to be a guy who's affected by it at all. I think he's just going to go out and play basketball. I think he very much feels like, just listening to him talk at Indiana's media day a couple weeks ago, that he's there for one reason. Not obviously one reason, because he's there to go to school, but I think his focus is to be the best version of Romeo Langford he can be and help Indiana win games, and I think that's what he's going to do. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's caught up too much in what's being written or said or tweeted about him. I'm sure he loves the positive attention, but he's not going to be a guy that lets it get to his head. So I think Romeo is going to have a great year. Really excited. I think we're a little less than a month now before the first game of the season. Just can't wait to see just how he looks on the floor along with the rest of this Indiana team. I think it's going to be a fun year.
Archie Miller addressing the media now. As we talk, Alex, in Rosemont now from 11:20 to 11:30 today. And I think he and both players in attendance, Juwan Morgan and Zach McRoberts, are expected to be on the Big Ten Network later this afternoon for a brief spot, if I understood the schedule correctly as well.
Yeah, they'll have roundtable sessions between the Archie Miller press conference and then at 2 o'clock Eastern, I believe, you can continue. Network, all three of those guys should be on the set giving information. And we'll have coverage, obviously, from some of the roundtable stuff. We've got a reporter, Ryan Carraza, up there at Big Ten Media Day. So we'll have coverage all day on the site, and looking forward to seeing what comes out of Big Ten Media Day.
Alex Bozich inside the hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and Southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Alex, thanks for the chat. Enjoy the Big Ten Media Day festivities as they unfold, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a great day.
We'll head to a commercial break. Lee Kelly will rejoin me after the break. We'll be talking some IU football as they get ready for a big game against Iowa coming up, homecoming game this weekend. We'll also talk high school football for week 9, the final week of the regular season. It's highlighted by New Albany and Floyd Central. All of that coming your way as we wrap the program up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Okay, Lee Kelly and I back on this Thursday show. By the way, Lee, I was watching the video from Peaks.com of Archie Miller speaking at Rosemont, Illinois, the press conference for Big Ten Media Day. Coaches are allotted 10 minutes or so for questions. I think his was about 7. He's matter of fact. He gets through his questions pretty quick. But his first question after his brief opening statement, can you guess what it was about or who it was about, rather?
I think I know what you're going to tell me, but tell me. And then
Romeo Langford, imagine that.
I'm still amazed at the amount of publicity, even though I think he's fantastic and great. It's just a little surprising.
Yeah, absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Speaking of Pigs, the football writer is with us for a quick chat on IU football this weekend. IU, a big one. It's homecoming. They look to get their 5th win of the season. And take one step closer to bowl eligibility. And, Matt, by all accounts, as I've read some pregame thoughts from you and others on this game, I think we could be in for a good matchup Saturday in Bloomington.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think these are two teams that, match up pretty well. And, I think the line's like 5 points or something. I mean, I think it'll be a very competitive game. I would be surprised if either team kind of pulls away from the other one. Iowa's obviously a good defensive team. They're a little bit different offensively this year. They usually run the ball, better than they throw it. But this year with Nate Stanley at quarterback, they've been more productive throwing the ball. But, I'm sure they're still going to try to establish the run. So Indiana's got to be ready for that.
Matt, this situation going on with running back Morgan Ellison, does that have any impact at all on the team members themselves, you think?
No, not really. I mean, the impact would have been back probably when he was first suspended. I think it was, late August? I can't remember the exact day. I want to say around the 24th or 20th, right before, 24th or 25th, right before the season opener, if I'm not mistaken. So that might have been when there might have been somewhat of a distraction. But now that it's kind of, I know it's been rekindled, but it kind of died down. It was kind of a backstory until obviously the report came out this morning. But I don't think it's he hasn't played. If he had been playing and this happened, then I could see it being different. But he hadn't been playing. He'd been practicing a little bit, but I don't really see how it's much of a distraction. They've probably gotten used to it. And today's thing really doesn't change anything for the team.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. He covers IU football for Pigs, one of the best out there. Keys for this game against Iowa. We've mentioned that the spread's got it being pretty close. We mentioned that generally this is thought to be a game that could be very competitive. What does Indiana need to do against this Iowa team based on some momentum that they actually picked up in the loss at Ohio State the week before? What do they need to do to make sure a win is feasible and possible Saturday?
Well, I think, offensively, I think if you play like you did for a good part of the Ohio State game where you really – we've talked about it all year, where you really were aggressive with your passing game. You got the ball to your playmakers like Westbrook and threw some balls to Donovan Hale. Obviously you had Jay Shutt involved. And hopefully they can get Walt Fillier and Luke Timian back. I think we probably won't know until game time if they're going to play. But I think just continue to be aggressive. I mean, it's going to be tough to run the ball. You still got to try to run it. But, this team, they threw the ball really well at Ohio State. And then defensively, you got to try to get some pressure on Stanley. I don't think he's going to beat you with his legs. This is a big, strong guy with a good arm, and they got
some good tight ends. I think one of them, Noah Fant, might be questionable for this game, so that'll be interesting. But, you know, they're going to do a lot of play action, try to get you to sucker you up and then go over the top with some deep throws. But throw a lot of balls to their tight ends. So, you know, it's going to be important to be sound there. But I think in special teams, you know, no mistakes. Can't have it happen against Michigan State, no kind of turnovers or anything like that. But And Indiana's been good in the turnover margin. They lead the Big Ten in takeaways. Now, in the last couple of games, I think Iowa's been a little bit loose with the ball. So you get a couple turnovers, that would definitely help the cause.
Matt, as the season has gone on, which players have stepped up big for IU that maybe you weren't expecting?
Well, I mean, I just kind of meant, I think offensively, Dede Scott, because, you know, I think people thought he could play at running back. But obviously with the Morgan Ellison situation and Nicole Guest getting hurt in game one down at FIU and being lost for the season, they really needed somebody, and he's done a good job. I know his numbers the last few weeks haven't been as good as they were a few weeks ago, but he's still been, you know, pretty rock solid. I mean, it'd be, you know, scary to think where they might be if they didn't have Stevie Scott at running back. And then I think Jason Harris, especially the last 2 weeks, we all knew what he could do as a punt returner, but he's been fantastic as a receiver. When they lost their two top kind of inside slot receivers in Luke Timmy and Amalt Fillier, what he's done has been really, really good. I think defensively, probably look at the linebackers as a whole. I don't know if there's one guy at linebacker that, you know, Raekwon Jones is really playing pretty well. He's kind of struggled in the first game, but I just think that group as a whole, there's a lot of question marks, and I think they play pretty well overall. Hasn't been perfect, but it never is. But I think that group as a whole position group has done a nice job. You know, you don't have the studs that you had last year in Covington and Scales, but overall I think it's a deeper group, and I think they're playing pretty well.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, with us to preview IU-Iowa big homecoming game Saturday in Bloomington as Indiana searches for its fifth win. Again, should be a great game, should be very competitive, a fun one to get out to if you can. Matt, thanks for the quick preview today. Always great to catch up.
No problem, guys. Have a great weekend.
And Lee and I want to close, as we do every Thursday, with a quick discussion, a quick preview on high school football for the upcoming weekend. Lee, hard to believe we're headed into week 9, the final week of the regular season of high school football. Amazing that this season has flown by. Thank goodness, though, after Friday night, we've got sectional pairings to look forward to. And darn it, I let Matt Weaver go. I wanted to ask him about a Columbus East. He's an alumni of East and our New Albany rematch. But we've got that to look forward to, many other games as well. But the season, as always, has flown by, and now we're in that final week of play.
It really has. It seems like just a couple of weeks ago we were sitting here doing the preseason special and meeting some very nice young men, talking to some coaches first year on the job. And here we are, like you said, week 9, trying to close out the regular season, getting ready for the tournament. It's amazing.
Our football chat is presented by Zaxby's each week on the program. Tackle your hunger with Zaxby's. Try one of their sandwich meals, like the grilled chicken sandwich meal. All sandwich meals include crinkle fries and a 22-ounce drink. Zaxby's, a proud supporter of high school football on the Big X Sports Radio. Our two feature games, Lee, on the Big X Friday night will be New Albany playing Floyd Central and Providence hosting Linton Stockton. Linton Stockton, let's start with that game. They're 4-4, but they have had a dominant football program for many years. Always a nice challenge for Providence the week before they head into tournament play. It's a new game, fairly new game on the schedule, added within the last couple of seasons along with the Milan game. And this will give Larry Dennison's team a final challenge. It should be a challenge for the Pioneers as they host Linton Stockton to close out the season. Of course, the big sectional coming up. Providence is one of the favorites in that sectional. They're on one side of the bracket. Paoli at 8-0. They're on the other side of the bracket. That could be a fun one if it all works out as it should. But Providence first has Linton Stockton on Friday night.
Yeah, and Providence during that streak, stealing some information here from Greg Mingelt of the News and Tribune, Providence averaging 27 points a game and holding opponents to 11 during that win streak. And so both sides of the ball stepping up big time for the Pioneers here over this 2018 season. And just playing their best ball of the year, which is exactly what their coach had talked about in the preseason, hoping would happen.
Of course, our other feature game, New Albany, Floyd Central, always a fun week, gets a good crowd. It is Harvest Homecoming week. You and I were debating our favorite Harvest Homecoming food items over Christmas break as you're headed down there later this afternoon. But always a fun addition to Harvest Homecoming. That may take a little bit of the excitement on a Friday night away from it. There'll be a good crowd there, but will there be as big a crowd if Harvest Homecoming wasn't going on? I don't know. But fun game, fun way to end the season. New Albany, I think I keep reading, you know, I've read Greg's previews, I've looked at the schedules and the scores, and I've said on this program, I think New Albany on paper is the favorite, but it's a rival game, and Floyd Central at times has played really, really well. And they're a quality football team. I mean, it's not like there's a huge difference, I don't think, between the two. So I do feel like New Albany's better, but I'm not counting anything out. And again, someone was giving me some heck about the sectional pairings because, you know, New Albany and Columbus East is a heck of a game. The winner of that game is likely going to play Seymour. That could be another good game. The winner of that game will play likely Bedford. Well, they said don't count out Floyd Central against Bedford, and I probably shouldn't, but I do think Bedford will be hard to beat. But back to the rival game quickly here as we wrap up. That should be interesting. I think New Albany could win it, but I wouldn't count Floyd Central out by any means.
No, and both of them rely on sophomore running backs, and they're both very, very good. If there's an edge on the offense, it would be the experience that Dylan Clark brings at quarterback as a four-year starter. But Floyd Central has done a nice job of their quarterback with their quarterback. So I think it'll be an exciting game, as it always is, between these two teams.
Lee Kelly always with me on Thursdays. Looking forward to Harvest Homecoming. Looking forward to high school football. Looking forward to IU Iowa. And looking forward, of course, to the start of college basketball, which is coming up very close. Lee, thanks for being with me. That'll wrap it up for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock with the Hoosier Report, right here on the Big X Sports Radio.